The clouds of judgment gather. It is like 10 virgins waiting in the night for the bridegroom to come, keeping watch with lamps of oil. But the hour grows late, and they sleep, every one of them, and their oil burns low. If I'm not mistaken, your oil has burned low too. It is, after all, the last days of the quarter, and of the year 2005, and of the world. Yet in these latter days, you and I have come here, to this place, ready to do for the church what she needs, filled with zeal, and prepared to fix her. But how do you feel at the end of this quarter? What have you found here this year? A Lutheran mind? A theology of the cross? A church who stubbornly insists that she doesn't need you to fix a thing because she has been given for the express purpose of fixing you? I'll tell you, that's not what I was looking for when I came to Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. I was looking to stand in this pulpit and preach about how life really was, and I was going to get you to live that life for Jesus. I didn't realize just how low my oil had burned. Now, does it not burn even lower? Who among us does not look at the classwork that Almighty God has sent us here to learn and scoff as if we already knew all that really mattered for ministry? And do you not make bold claims about what this place should or shouldn't be? About how it would all work so much better if people just thought like you did? Yeah, me too. And it is that very pride that causes me to hatch grandiose plans about my future ministry, about where I'll go and how I'll fix it, and how I'll bring converts by the thousands through my teaching and the gentle wisdom of my pastoral care, and all this without ever spending a day in the place to find out what's actually wrong. To make matters worse, almost none of these glorious plans to save the church begin with or even mention a pure preaching of the gospel. How much more often instead do all of our dreams lie in the mystical reality that you and I are the one person finally God-given to figure out how to preach the third use of the law, the right way, so that it really works, and so that people live the sanctified life. Tell me, is there any oil left in the lamps of a people who so disdain to trust in the power of the gospel? When we lust after the law with such adulterous hearts, and when we worship the Bible for its morality, and when we boast more and more of our mission to spread the good news while ever more rarely boasting of the good news, well, one might think there's little oil left in our lamps at all. What will we find then when the bridegroom comes and we awake? Will we have enough faith to light our way to the feast after our affair with piety and growth? Will we find some hope to cling to when we have withheld from ourselves the precious preaching of the gospel simply for the sake of preaching the gospel? It is an honest question to ask Adam. When the judgment comes, will you find out that you were a faithful and wise servant or nothing but a wicked one? When the master calls to account, will you find out that you took your 10 talents and gained 10 more? Or that you buried it in the sand? When the nations are herded like flocks at Megiddo, will you find out that you are a sheep or a goat? It is an honest question to ask Adam, because Jesus minces no words in Matthew 25. You are either waiting for him to come or you aren't. And when he does, you will either find a surplus of oil ready to fill your faith to the brim so that you will stand in the judgment, or you will find a lamp that was too busy burning for idolatrous dreams, so that it is now rendered incapable of faith, and therefore fully deserving the harsh and brutal goodness that will close the doors of paradise to it forever. It is an honest question to ask Adam, which will it be for you? When Jesus finished saying all of these things to his disciples, he turned to them and he said, "You know, after 2 days, the Passover is coming, and then the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." And it really happened that fast. One day, he's standing on the Mount of Olivet, teaching his disciples, and then bam, Passover, Gethsemane, cross. And there, every last one of his disciples, every last one of them, slept. like foolish virgins, completely unprepared to trim their wicks. When the rooster crowed that morning, Peter knew the oil of his faith had run out. And then the clouds of judgment gathered, because the wrath of El Shaddai was coming to thunder upon the sin of mankind once and for all by shedding blood. Innocent blood. Sweet blood. Blood shed for you. And there is the oil in your lamp. There is the faithful and wise servant whose master found him doing what he had been sent to do. There is the slave who took his 10 talents and gained 10 more. There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ. And the blood and water which flowed from his side on that day, it flows even now in this very room, graven eternally upon your foreheads by the power of the same word that reminds you of the day that it came and washed you clean and gave you faith and promised you that when you awake at the end of time, there will be oil waiting for your lamp. Not because you grew the church, not because you served the Lord, not even because you preached the gospel, but because the gospel is preached to you. You are the wise virgins who will find their oil. That's the promise of the cross. You are the sheep who will enter paradise. That is the free gift of the cross. You are the faithful and wise servant. That is your baptism into the one who saved you on the cross. That is the oil in your lamp. And he will light your way when the trumpet cries, and when the archangel shouts, and when this horrific flesh with its laws and its endless demands is finally burned away. He will light your way as he gives you new flesh, new clothes, wedding garments for a feast where you will never again be tempted to fix the church, because you will finally see her as she really is. You will never again be pressed down to save yourself or others, because you will see with your own eyes all of creation saved. You will never again complain how nothing works, because everything will work down to your very own heart, which will shine with the gospel, filled with fear and trust in Yahweh, your God, who is your holiness, your innocence, and your blessedness forever and ever. Oh, happy holy portion, relief for all distressed, true vision of true beauty, refreshment for the blessed, the light that has no evening, that knows no moon or sun, the light so new and golden, the light who is but one, Jesus Christ. He is the oil in your lamp, and he will never run out. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.